Hello and welcome to the Hotchkiss and Wiley Q2 2021 High Yield Market Update. My name is John Hossey, and I am joined today by Patrick Megan, Portfolio Manager on the High Yield Strategy. Today, we will be providing an update on performance during the second quarter and a review of the high yield market more generally. Before we begin, a few disclosures. This podcast is for general information only and should not be relied on for investment advice or recommendation of any particular security, strategy, or investment product. The portfolio manager's views and opinions expressed in this podcast are as of July 16th, 2021. Such views are subject to change and may differ from others in the firm or the firm as a whole. The portfolio manager's comments include some estimated and/or forecasted views, which are believed to be based on reasonable assumptions within the bounds of current and historical information. However, there is no guarantee that any estimates, forecasts, or views will be realized. In the event of new information or changed circumstances, Hotchkiss and Wiley reserves the right to change its investment perspective and outlook. So Patrick, the Hotchkiss and Wiley High Yield Strategy slightly outperformed the ICE B of A High Yield Index during the quarter on both a gross and net of fee basis. Can you talk about some of the key performance drivers?
Sure. First of all, John, thank you very much for organizing this. And to everyone listening to the podcast, thank you for your time and your interest in our high yield strategy. First of all, the high yield market had a good second quarter. And within that, we had a good about 45 basis points gross, 29 basis points net alpha generated in the quarter. So our composite was up 2.97% growth, 2.86% net. And as I mentioned before, that's plus 45 versus the double B single B benchmark gross and plus 29 basis points versus the double B single B net. The quarter was relatively straightforward. It was a credit selection quarter, and the most positive area from a sector standpoint was within energy E&P. We added about 60 basis points of relative performance through credit selection in energy E&P. And for the quarter, WTI oil was up about 24%. So we're sitting about $74 a barrel right now. Additionally, the capital markets, high yield capital markets in particular, really opened up to E&P credits in the second quarter. And then on top of it, there were a couple of industry consolidation transactions within E&P that actually kind of helped our performance. We had a couple of restructured equity securities that are publicly traded equities now, and they were basically gobbled up in a couple of merger transactions. And so both of those transactions were accretive to share price and, again, helped drive the 60 basis points of alpha within energy E&P. And then secondarily, from a credit selection standpoint, retail was the next most positive sector in the second quarter. And those were our Board Riders bonds. And then Lycra, the company that has the brand for Lycra, those bonds did well. And those two together added about 20 basis points of outperformance versus the double B single B benchmark. Our SMID exposure, you know, we're pretty typically overweight SMIDs, so companies with $1 billion or less of total debt outstanding. That's a big component of our investment philosophy and process. And the overweight exposure to SMID added about 10 basis points of relative performance in the quarter. And then on the downside, two basic material-oriented restructured security holdings, American Zinc Recycling and Real Alloy, those both had negative marks, if you will, in the quarter. And those two together cost us about 40 basis points of relative performance. So again, putting it all together, about 45 basis points gross, 29 basis points net, and the vast majority of that came from credit selection, John.
So Patrick, we continue to see high yield spreads tighten quite a bit. Where are we currently in relation to the long-term average, and do you see more room for tightening in the current environment and looking ahead?
Well, just rough numbers, I would say the spread today in the high yield market is about 300 basis points, and that's one standard deviation tight versus high yield spreads over time. The long-term historical average, just for reference point, is about 430 basis points. So unambiguously, we are definitely tight versus the average. Past cycles have seen periods of time where spreads came inside of 300 basis points to about the 250 basis point range. But typically below 300 basis point spreads have historically not been sustained. And so we're kind of tight, but could see a period of time, and the fundamentals today, and I'll go into that in a second, seem to support that tight versus history. But you know, we could see things go tighter, maybe 50 basis points. And the case for that is the current U.S. economic and high yield market fundamental environment is very strong, and the monetary policy continues to be very dovish. And so I think our view is spreads could hang around in this 300 basis point range for the balance of 2021 and possibly beyond that. leverage in the high yield market is declining, and the last 12-month default rate actually just slipped below 2%, again, versus about a 3.5% long-term average. And so the fundamentals are pretty good. And what these companies are doing with free cash flow right now is primarily delevering, and or you see some instances of stock repurchase transactions. But what you're not seeing is, you know, a huge uptick in M&A activity, which I think from Hotchkiss and Wiley High Yield's perspective is our least favorite use of free cash flow. So bottom line, fundamentals are good, but I think it's fair to say they're pretty much priced into the high yield market today.
Yeah, and I see new issuance continues to be fairly strong. Is this just a function of companies financing leveraged buyouts, padding their war chests for future investment, or both while rates are low?
I would say it is more padding the war chest, although I don't know that it's for future investment, but a couple of stats. So year to date, the high yield new issuance, growth new issuance has been about $300 billion. Last year was the all-time record year, and for the full year 2020, there was $450 billion of gross high yield issuance. So we are on a pace in 2021 to exceed last year's record. So a lot of new issue activity. And if you think about what's going on, particularly in the 10-year yield, you know, it's come in here in the quarter and continued in July. And the high yield market's continued, the new issue market has continued to be heavy in July because rates are low. And then, as I mentioned in response to your previous question, spreads are tight. So there still is economic value to refinancing high yield debt that's outstanding. And thus far, year to date, about 70% of that gross new issuance, that $300 billion, has been used to refinance debt. Second on that list is M&A and LBO, and those are both relatively low. And so the new issuance, the gross new issuance in the high yield market is of a pretty good quality, meaning the use of proceeds, refinance existing debt, and put cash on the balance sheet or maintain record high levels of cash on the balance sheet. We're okay with that. But the problem in the high yield market today is yields are, you know, at record low and spreads are very low relative to history. And just to put a fine point on that, high yield issuers at the end of the quarter, so June 30th, they have cash as a percent of gross debt of 18%. And that is an all-time record level. So the financial flexibility of today's high yield issuer is very strong relative to history. So they're flush with cash. The open question is, how disciplined will they be or continue to be about redeploying it? And from our perspective, deleveraging is our favorite use of proceeds. And I think that has been the trend here in the last couple of quarters. And we think that trend is going to continue. But we are certainly listening to, you know, management comments and watching activity to see if there is a shift away from deleveraging towards M&A and LBOs.
Is a majority of the new issuance coming from large caps, or is there a fair amount coming from the mid cap cohort?
You know, I would say the high yield market is wide open right now, and both large caps and mid cap issuers are able to come to the market to refinance. And a trend that we really kind of noticed here in the last, let's call it 6 weeks of the quarter, and there's actually the high yield research strategist at Bank of America hit on this too. There's a decent amount of new names that are coming into the high yield market, and a lot of those new names are those mid-cap names. So in one sense, our investment universe, the mid-investment universe, is expanding, which is helpful given the tight spread, low yield conditions that we're in.
Is that a reflection of some of the smaller caps funding for growth, or is it a function of where we're playing and some of the debt reduction that you talked about?
I would say it's a mixture of debt reduction and a shift away from, let's call it, bank or bank loan financing into the fixed coupon financing. That's one of the characteristics broadly of the high yield market. So if you've got a mid cap issuer that's, you know, maybe it's got a term loan with a bank, or maybe last time it did debt, it did it in the bank loan market. Now they're saying, hey, you know, rates are low and the yield curve is flat. I can become a high yield issuer, which kind of diversifies my funding sources, and I'm better able to lock in what presumably the issuer think are lower interest rates and finance costs.
Makes sense. So Patrick, in terms of your outlook, can you talk about recent changes to your assessment of market fundamentals, technicals, and valuation indicators?
Yes, and that's actually a very good question to cover because it's been a relatively active quarter in terms of our overall outlook and then the three components. So from an overall perspective, our assessment of the high yield market, you know, we rate it on a quarterly basis from 1 to 5, 5 being, you know, we're pounding the table and 1 being, wow, this isn't looking so good. We went from down a point from a 4 to a 3. And within that, our assessment of the fundamentals was reduced by a point from a 5 down to a 4. And that fundamental assessment reduction was primarily due to early evidence of rising labor and material costs. And it remains to be seen whether or not these cost increases wind up being transitory, but there certainly is a risk that margins are at or near cyclical peaks in the first quarter, which was just a blowout quarter across the high yield issuers from a financial reporting standpoint and from an operating leverage standpoint. So fundamentals, to be clear, are still pretty good. The new concern that caused a reduction in the rating is, you know, we could see some margin pressure, and it's an open question how much of the cost increases will be able to be passed along to the end user through price increases. From a technical perspective, we lowered the assessment from a 4 down to a 3, and that was largely on the above inflation readings that I think we've all seen, the recent Fed commentary regarding taper, and the Fed's announcement that they're going to begin selling corporate bond holdings they acquired in the SMCCF program that was launched, I think it was in April of 2020 in response to the COVID shutdown. So a 3 technical assessment is doable, you know, with the fundamentals 4, that's good. But I think it's fair to say that inflation is here. It remains to be seen whether or not it's transitory. And we're definitely listening to conference calls and economic data points to try to glean whether or not it's going to be transitory or ongoing. And then the Fed is, while it's still very dovish relative to history, the Fed is less dovish today than it was 3 months ago. And then the valuation assessment, that was also reduced by 1 point from a 3 to a 2. And that was primarily on the spread compression and the tightness of the high yield market that we talked about in your first question. It is fair to say, though, the quality of the high yield market, so the percent of the high yield market that's double B rated, is higher today versus history. So there is a, you know, while spreads are at 300 basis points versus that 430 basis point OAS history, the percentage, I think it's about, might be 8 or 10 points higher, double B exposure today versus 20 years ago in the high yield market. And so with that quality adjustment, 300 isn't as bad as it was 20 years, but as I mentioned earlier, it's still pretty tight versus history, and you have to respect the history.
So Patrick, are there any areas of the market that you're looking to reweight higher or lower in your portfolio right now based on that assessment?
I would say the biggest area of sector, I don't know if I'd say change, but activity that did result in a net reduction was within energy. And we have over time made a commitment to try and keep our energy posture very benchmark-like. And that's largely because of the significant amount of, let's call it, macro uncertainty within energy, right? You've got the whole OPEC conundrum. You've got a desire to reduce reliance on fossil fuel, and you have a big ESG push globally and a desire to maybe have less exposure or more uncertainty about history as a guide to how things might trade in energy. And so in response to all of that, we've tried to keep benchmark-like. And as I mentioned before, you know, energy was a good performer for us in the quarter. And as that high yield market opened up to those mid energy issuers, we sold out of successfully some of the large cap energy fallen angels that we acquired, you know, in the teeth of the COVID crisis, redeployed some of those proceeds into mid-energy names, but net-net reduced our overall exposure to energy from, I think we're about 150 basis points overweight back to more neutral versus the market. And so from a moving things around standpoint, that was the biggest area. Where those that capital went was a mixture of industrials, and then also a couple of names that are large cap in orientation that are maybe a little bit less cyclical. So we took a little cyclicality, if you will, out of the portfolio on the sell side of that energy exposure reduction.
That's great, Patrick. Thank you.
My pleasure. And to everybody that's listening to the podcast, thank you very much for your time and again, your support for the Hotchkiss & Wiley High Yield Strategy.
Well, Patrick, you've been a great guest. And again, we thank our audience for their interest in the Hotchkiss & Wiley High Yield Strategy. For further information, please visit www.hwcm.com or call us at 888-596-4926. Thank you.